Joe Rogan, more like Joe needs Rogaine. Because he's bald.
He would look so bad with hair, though. Like, have you seen the pictures of his young pictures?
Wait, Joe Rogan with hair.
Like when he was on news radio?
Joe Rogan was on news radio?
Yeah, that was like his first gig in like LA. He was like, yeah, I was on news radio.
Oh, like on news, like news radio?
There was a sitcom called News
Radio.
Oh, yeah,
that's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah. Not the real news.
News Radio was a decent, like, multi-camera sitcom.
So, from the clips I saw, it was really bad. Mostly because of it was Joe Rogan. And it was
yeah,
very
I don't remember him on it, but I do remember Phil Hartman, and, like, he did good. And David Spader, something like that.
David Spade?
No.
It's to change his name.
Dave Foley, that's who it is.
Dave Foley.
Apparently Joe Rogan was a prominent character. I don't remember him at all.
I don't. The only thing I saw him on was Fear Factor, and that show was fucking amazing.
What's Fear Factor?
Have you never seen Fear Factor?
No.
Well, basically, Fear Factor was a show in the early 2000s where Joe Rogan, with hair, would pay a bunch of people to do gross shit on camera.
Oh, I'm looking at it now, like, at the screenshots, and Jesus Christ.
They would eat, like, raw
Who would
bugs,
agree to go on to that show?
Bugs. People, poor people who are really desperate to be famous and rich.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah, but they get to do some really fucked up shit.
Do they, like, make money going on it?
The winner does. But only one
How do
person
you win?
Does. I think you have to do the most weird shit. I think you need to last till the end.
Okay, for the audio listeners, all of our listeners, I'm looking at a photo right now of, like, just some lady with just, like, scorpions crawling all over her face.
That's, like, the least of it. Like, they'd have to, like, drink raw pig's blood, like, and
Jesus Christ.
Make eye contact with the pig while you're doing it. And if you break eye contact, you lose. Or it's, like swim in a vat of, like, bull semen. And
oh
just,
my
like, there's
God.
A vat. It's like, how did you get a vat?
That's what you're concerned about?
It's like, that's a lot. Like, that poor bull. Or that lucky
or that,
bull.
Yeah.
That's an insanely lucky bull.
That's a bull having a great time. I guess against its own will, maybe.
Probably didn't have enough refractory period. And this is
Anything but Spielberg.
Fear Factor was really
So our boy today is
Wes
Anderson. Yes, Wes Anderson.
Not east, not north, and not south. Wes Anderson.
Is Wes actually short for something?
No, it's got to be
probably
just
Wes. Wesley.
My uncle's name is Wesley, but he goes by Wes. But
Wesley
legally it's Wesley.
Anderson? His full name is Wesley. His full name's Wesley.
Oof.
And so now we have to say Wesley the entire podcast.
Wesley, he looks like a goddamn fool, first
yeah.
of all.
Yeah. For the audience, Graham has simply written in our notes, looks like a goddamn fool.
Because it's true.
He actually does. If you look up a photo of him, he looks ridiculous. He looks like a cartoon character.
It's he looks like a character in one of his movies, but in a bad way.
There's a lot of headshots of somebody named Wesley Anderson.
Wesley.
Not our boy Wesley that we're talking
is
about.
Is it my uncle?
Is your uncle black and like
no,
in
no,
their
no.
20s?
Definitely not. No, definitely not. Let me see if there's any pictures of my uncle on here. He had cancer, but he recovered.
Wes Anderson?
No, my uncle.
Okay, you look at Wes Anderson, and like I'm just gonna be a horrible podcast host for a second. This is how I think he talks. Hey there. Hey. You want to be in my movie?
And everyone is like enthralled by him. Like, they fall under his spell. It's like a walking ASMR.
Yeah. No, he definitely speaks in ASMR.
He makes way too much eye contact, too. I know
that. Oh,
for sure.
Absolutely. Because in every photo, he's making way too much eye contact with the camera.
It's like they say if your pupils or if your eyelids go above your pupils, you're on drugs. And, like, his eyelids gotta be above the pupils.
Is that a thing that they say?
I think so. I think it's, like, when you're on, like, stimulants and, like, you're just, like, all wired and, like, your eyes That's go, like, ah.
Crazy.
Ah, like, see, I'm, like, ah.
Would not know.
I don't do those drugs. He would also, I think, consider himself eccentric.
Maybe, possibly. Possibly a little quirky.
I'm not like other boys. I'm eccentric and I'm quirky and I like art.
Maybe I'll just title the episode that I'm not like the other boys, the Wes Anderson story.
That's such a good title. Holy shit.
But like, I don't know. Let's continue in the about section because I'm not going to get into my opinion quite yet.
We need to do a biography.
Our boy was born in Houston, Texas. His mom was Texas Ann Anderson, realtor and archaeologist.
His mom is an archaeologist? What?
And a realtor?
Apparently, that's an odd combination.
Yeah, because I feel like if you're an archaeologist, you're like, I'm an archaeologist.
I feel like that's kind of a full-time thing. And I feel like realtor is so mainstream, so square, that you don't get many archaeologists. But also, she was, like, famous in Texas, and they called her Texas Ann Anderson. Like, that was, like, in her Wikipedia.
That's kind of a sick name.
Honestly, I'll take it.
And so he was second of three boys, divorced, and he was eight. You mean his parents
his
divorced?
His parents divorced.
He looks like he went through a divorce when he was eight.
He really does. Which it kind of explains a lot in his, of the themes in his movies,
yeah.
I think. Going through a divorce when you're that young.
And just, like, being unhappy and,
yeah.
like, older couples being unhappy in relationships.
Yeah, I feel like the relationship dynamics are very, very fucked up. And
pessimistic,
yeah, at least. Yeah. But in a quirky way. Hey! But he also went to UT Austin, the University of Texas, which has a good film program.
Does it?
Like, the guy from Clerks went there.
Where is it? In Austin?
In Austin, yeah. Mm-hmm. Austin at Texas. At Austin. but the guy from Rooster Teeth went there.
Wait, you live?
a bunch of people
I'm
went
so
there.
So dumb, wow.
That one guy who made Mariachi, I think.
Mariachi?
No, not Libera. what was it called? Mariachi? El Mariachi. The 1992 film by Robert Rodriguez. He went to UT Austin.
That's what you know of Rodriguez from?
I don't know.
That's what you know Rodriguez from?
That's what I remember
from.
UT Austin from. But he didn't get a major in film, even though they have a really good film program. He got a major in philosophy. Even though I feel like it's not, his films are not philosophical.
No, I don't think so at all. And, side note, Clerks is a really good movie, and I haven't seen any other of his movies. What's the fucking dude's name? Famous director.
He had a heart attack recently.
Oh,
didn't
no.
he do Silent Bob and
yeah.
Talkative Jay?
I don't think that's it.
Adam Smith?
Kevin Smith. Oh my God. We're the worst.
But he almost died. I think he went on Joe Rogan and was like, yeah, I had a near-death experience. And Joe Rogan was like, yeah, I did DMT. I know what you're talking about.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm not kidding.
That's funny. Okay. So, yeah, honestly, like, he's so quirky.
He's like we said, he's eccentric. He's different.
I mean, if you haven't seen, I'm sure you've seen, everybody's seen a Wes Anderson movie at one point or another. They're so palatable.
One of them. There's so many of them.
Yeah,
like, there's so many
there
different
are.
For different people, I feel like.
But they're like, everybody, I don't think anybody would watch a Wes Anderson movie and be like, I fucking hated that.
I did. I kind of did when I saw Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, we'll get into that in a bit later because I have opinions on that film.
Me too.
But, like, I don't know. At least somebody at some point has seen a Wes Anderson movie and been like, that was Very quirky and jovial.
It's jovial. That's a good description. Yeah. Like, it's wholesome, and it's like, ah, boys, it's a film. And it's like, we're movies. And I feel like it's very, very wholesome, but in a weird way. And not a like, it's quirky. It's quirky, guys.
Yeah. So, Graham, what are your impressions of the work and style?
I feel like my impressions really come down to a dichotomy. The dichotomy between his real life work and his animated work, or his stop motion work. Because I feel like, for the most part, I do kind of like his style in real life. I think it works kind of well. But when you move that style and that quirkiness and the dialogue and just that weird tone over to stop motion, I just feel like it's way too much. Because he has way too much control over their movements and like just everything. Like, it's too uncanny.
Yeah.
And those are my impressions.
I feel like, I definitely agree with you. I like his real stuff more than his animated, but there is still a good portion of his real, like his live action work I don't love, because I don't think he's a fantastic writer.
No.
Like, some are better than others, but like, I think it's like, he has a strong visual focus, and that's okay. But like, I did a paper at one point where I like just talked about like his techniques and stuff and like all of the things he does. And he has so many hard and fast rules with his directing that like after studying like all of those rules, it no longer was like really fun to watch anything of his. To where like when I was like younger and watching it, like stuff like that for the first time, it was like, ooh, this is different. Like, this is unexpected. But now it's like, it's kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Wes Anderson movie. It's going to do that.
I 100% agree. I feel like even just after going to a couple years of film school and like just like knowing like the shots and things and like what you can do with a camera and just like kind of what your options are, it really takes away the mystique. And it's
like, because
when you first watch it, you first watch a Wes Anderson film and you're like 15 and you're like, oh shit, this is kind of weird. And it's like, I'm edgy and it's not a mainstream movie, guys.
Yeah.
But then once you get like, you watch a couple movies, it's like, oh, I get what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Well, okay.
So let's dive into some stuff here. He has so many goddamn movies, Jesus Christ.
It's surprising because they all feel like the same movie.
Yeah, they really do.
Like, it could be like an HBO series where it's like, it's all one show.
Now, so in terms of his early stuff, I haven't seen Bottle Rocket, but I have seen Rushmore.
I have not seen either.
They're literally not worth watching. I'm sorry to anybody who's like a huge fucking Rushmore fan, but it's like, I'd say Rushmore is like just super. I don't like the story because I don't like the protagonist, and like everything about it just feels very like very white.
Isn't that the one where he falls in love with a first grade teacher?
Yeah.
That's a little fucked up. That's a little weird.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, the whole thing was weird, and it's like it's an intolerable form of Jason Schwartzman. Who I, like, honestly, is he a good actor? No.
I need to look up what he's been in.
He was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Ooh, honestly, I did not like that movie.
I like it, but I'm not surprised that you don't like it.
Yeah, I'm just not really into the whole comic book.
Yeah.
Like, I liked Baby Driver. Baby Driver was good.
I did not like Baby Driver.
Ah.
Ooh, we should do fucking Edgar Wright episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You'll see an Edgar Wright episode at some point in the future.
A couple weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
I have no interest in seeing Bottle Rocket or Rushmore. Like, I feel like I got his style in a more polished and, like, finished and finalized version. I just feel like this is going to be, like, a shittier version of that.
So, my favorite Wes Anderson movie is Royal Tenenbaums, which I think is still one of his earlier movies.
Yeah, I think it's like his third movie, which I haven't seen either, which I feel bad about. I feel like if I was going to watch one more Wes Anderson movie, this is going to be it.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's like, it's less stylized than his other movies. It definitely is still very stylized, but there's more of a story emphasis, and the story is like really engaging and like sweet and interesting. So I like, it's definitely more, it grabs me more for sure. And I feel like I'm more like, actually, like I care more about the characters in this one, and because it's also better actors.
I hope I can code it on the genome, because I definitely want to watch this now. Holy shit. Yeah, because I think I've seen clips from it, and it looks really good. Like, it looks like Squid and the Whale, but like adult and better.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's an eccentric family, and like, just, but like kids who are like gifted growing up to be like super depressed, which is like the vibe, honestly. And Ben Stiller, like, I'm not the biggest Ben Stiller fan, but Ben Stiller does a very good job in it.
I like Ben Stiller. He's really good in the Meyerowitz stories.
Oh, I've still never seen them.
That's really good. That's really good. And also the Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Oh, yeah, that I always forget about that movie. It's
a classic. I really like it. Classic, classic.
I need to rewatch that because I haven't seen it since I was younger.
We need to make a list of all the movies that we need to watch.
Just code it on the genome.
I know. I really hope it's on the genome.
Walter Mitty's definitely not on there.
Ooh,
there's no
way.
We need
to add it. I want to add Primer. That's like one of mine.
I saw Primer on your list, and I got really excited for you. So, yeah, Royal Tenenbaums is just like, it's really nice, and like it's like everything just feels like very like pretty, and like it's all put together nicely, like in the very Wes Anderson style, but it doesn't feel like camera wise he's like trying as hard to do that thing. So that's why I find it like just more, I don't want to say watchable because that sounds so mean, but like it's
less obtrusive.
Yeah, it's just like it's enjoyable to watch. It's like, if it's on, I'll watch it.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Mm-hmm. And like, isn't it like New York and like,
it's New York in the 70s, like, oh, which is shit. How could you not like that?
I feel like that's a great, one of those great just combination films where it's like New York 70s, Wes Anderson, eccentric family, depression.
Yeah,
it's like then you get $70 million. Yeah, off the bat.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, that's exactly the mood for sure. Life Aquatic, I love. I haven't seen it in a really long time, but I like it.
I have not seen. I started Life Aquatic, and I was like, I don't have time for this. And I just never.
What am
went
I doing? Fucking
it.
Sitting around watching a Wes Anderson movie?
It was at like 1 a.m. Yeah. I was like, you know what I'll do? I'll start Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. And then I was like, this is not what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to go to bed. And then I just never went back
it's
to it.
It's a very sweet movie. And it's got a great soundtrack. Also, Royal Tenenbaums does too. But these two, I'd say, have the best soundtrack out of all of his movies.
Yeah. And I love Bill Murray. I really do. I want to see it. Like, it looks really good.
Yeah, I do. Bill Murray is amazing in everything.
And it's like you see the pictures of like him like in like back set. What's it called? Backstage behind behind the camera. You see him on set. That's what
on
it is.
Set.
Behind set.
You go to film school.
But you see him like with the pictures of him on set, and like the set for that movie, like the boat, it was built like in a huge like. Set hangar.
Yeah,
and it's like it looks so cool to see him just like with the camera. Like it makes that's like that feeling where it's like, oh man, to be there, to be making films and like doing something that creative. Like that's one thing that Wes Anderson does kind of give me hope in some ways,
mm-hmm.
where it's like that really like directed vision, and it's like he's trying to communicate something in a quirky style and like use the elements of film in all these different ways. It's like kind of unconventional.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I like it is really cool to see somebody like just do it, like having a specific vision, just like doing it for their entire career because they like really enjoy it. You can tell he has fun with it, which is good.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong, it gets too much.
It does.
Like I need to space out what the movies I watch from him. Like I can't do too much at once or I'll overdose.
So side note on Life Aquatic, I was working at Lone Star one day, and this like group, probably like party 16, pretty big group, comes in, and they're all wearing like the outfit, like the red hat and like the yellow. Hold on.
Oh God.
Look at the outfit.
That sounds awful.
But they were like specifically a Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou fan club.
What the fuck?
Who are like on an outing together.
That's way too hardcore. Like, for all the movies to get that obsessed about and to spend that much energy obsessing over. What the fuck?
They're like, this is my favorite movie. It's going to become my entire identity now.
I'm going to literally recreate this movie on my identity. I'm going to become this man.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird. And like at one point I like went up to them like, so is this what you're doing? Like, cause I like saw them and like, there's no way they're all dressed up like that one character from this one Wes Anderson movie. And they're like, yep, no, that's what we're doing.
What the fuck? Was this in Boston or?
Yeah.
Oh my God. There's too many people in us.
We need to get some out of here.
I think like that's the sign of like, we've hit the bottom of rung of humanity. Like as a culture, we need to turn back.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It was a weird time.
Like that's your life. Like, you choose to do that with your life. This God-given gift you've gotten chosen for.
And they're going to dress up like that one
like
character.
Like Steve Zissou.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's nice.
I mean, it's a it seems like a good enough movie.
At least they're not dressing up like Tarantino characters. That's all we can ask for at the end of the day.
Worse. But people just do that in real life. Where they
That's
just get
true.
Like, that they do become... That like
people at film schools base their entire identity around just like they pick a Tarantino character and they're like, that's me now.
Oh, I'll bleep that.
You can't say that.
I'll bleep it. I bleeped the last podcast.
Dude, side note, they look so fucking annoying.
He's been Snapchatting Corey, just like Why? Videos of him doing push-ups.
Shut the fuck up. That's so funny.
I'm not joking right now.
There was one time you guys came over, like, with him, and, like, I was just on the couch, just minding my own business, and he sat down next to me, and he's like, yeah, avant-garde cinema. Like, you need to leave right now.
I was just walking around with my film camera down Boylston to just, like, go walk in Boston and take pictures, and he stopped me, and he was like, hey, Graham, what's going on? I was like, oh, not much. What's going on with you? We had a conversation. He's like, so you gonna take my picture? And I was like,
what?
I guess, like, this is gonna cost me $1 right now. Like, this is my film camera. And so I took his picture, and it turned out kind of good.
Did he post it on Instagram?
No, I didn't send it to him.
Good. That's such a good move.
Yeah.
I'd say we should bleep out the name and then keep the rest of it, because that's just how this one individual is, like, the... Just
he's the Schenectady.
Oh my God. No, that's not how it's used. Wait.
It's a part representing a whole.
It's true. He is the part representing the whole of
Emerson Films.
Of shitty film boys.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, just fucking out here. Like, literally, so many guys just being like, so. Who's your favorite auteur?
I took a class called Cinephilia and the Auteur, and I had to drop it for this internship, and I'm kind of glad I did.
Yeah.
Because those were the guys who would say, auteur. I'm a cinephiliac. I'm a cinephile.
I feel like we should like stigmatize cinephile like we do pedophile.
It sounds very similar, and I'm kind of glad.
Yeah, it should be.
I was accused of being a cinephile.
Oh, no.
But I'm not,
You're
I swear.
An accused cinephile?
I do have to go to my neighbors and say I'm a cinephile.
You have to get on a registry?
My name is on a list. An IMDb list.
Do you have an IMDb?
No, I have a letterbox, though.
No, but like and like IMDb credits.
Oh, God,
because like for like
no.
your
God,
EIB
no.
stuff.
Fuck no. Is that on IMDb?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure somebody put it on there.
Are you shitting? I've got to look. This can't, it can't be true.
No, because like I did a short film in high school and I just put it on IMDb so I could have an IMDb credit.
I'm gonna fucking die if I have an IMDb credit. That's so fucking cool. Yeah, I don't think it has an IMDb. But that's such a good idea. I'm going to go through like everything that I've ever worked on and search it on IMDb.
Yeah, do it.
And honestly, EIV... And a lot of Emerson shit really pisses me off because the editing takes so fucking long. Like, I don't even think Shadow Minds season 3, and I'm probably going to cut this because I love Shadow Minds, but it's like not even out yet. Or Shadow Minds season 2 even. Like, and I worked on Shadow Minds season 4.
Yeah, I don't... That's another thing. I don't do a lot of like film set stuff, and I don't like do... I obviously, I'm not an editor, but... with like photography and stuff, people always fucking be like, yeah, I'm gonna need like 3 weeks to edit these photos. I'm like, how does it take you that long to edit photos?
Yeah. The only thing for me is that like whenever I do film, like well, it takes a long
completely
time.
Different
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. If you're but for taking, digital, it's like you can do it literally the day at like the
like
day of
a 20 minute shoot, you're getting like 5,000 photos. Like you just plug that shit into Lightroom, copy yeah. and paste edits. Like it takes maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
There's maximum.
There's what's it called? Like it's not pathways. Like,
isn't it Adobe Pathways? Is that a thing? No, why does that sound right?
No, it's not like Adobe anything. It's like a software term where it's like there's easy ways to do things fast. Like a,
yes.
Like pathways.
I think that is the term.
It's definitely not. It's like it's a better word. But there's ways to do things. And especially with digital, it makes it so easy.
It makes it so easy.
So easy.
Yeah, I never understand that. Like, and also literally just because of like actual OCD, it's like, I'll like, if I do a shoot, like I'll need to edit those photos within that day.
Yeah.
Or and else plus, I'll forget.
Plus like I'd be like, I gotta check this out. I gotta make sure everything turned out okay.
Yes, exactly.
Like, if something went wrong and fucked up and like.
And you don't want to be the guy a week later being like.
Hey, I just checked out yeah. these photos.
And they're bad.
They're all bad.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I don't know. I think it's so weird how people just sit on pictures for like weeks and like be like, yeah. Oh, I guess I gotta edit them.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What are you doing?
Get it together.
Fuck you.
But what are we on now? Let's pop over to Darjeeling.
So I recently, this is the one I watched for the podcast, and I was going into it, I was very skeptical because I had just watched the fucking Fantastic Mr. Fox, which was awful. I did not like it at all. And so I was going into this one, I was like, fucking Wes Anderson. And I watched it, and it was actually pretty good. I liked it. Was like the backdrop was like a spiritual quest with
like
Owen Wilson, and I was like, oh, I kind of dig this. Like they went to India.
Owen Wilson is enjoyable.
I really liked him in this movie.
So is Luke Wilson. I've got to say, not as much.
Who's Luke Wilson?
Owen Wilson's brother.
Is he also an actor?
A very prolific actor.
Let me look at this. He was in Legally Blonde. Was he the guy in Idiocracy?
I haven't seen Idiocracy.
It says he's in. Yeah, he was the guy. What?
How did you not know who Luke Wilson is?
Well, now I do. Holy shit. Well,
and he looks exactly like Owen Wilson.
They're both very enjoyable. I definitely agree.
I don't know. I feel like if you're a Luke Wilson hater, like maybe, like just calm down.
Take a little Xanax.
Yeah, like he's fine.
Yeah, he's like they're both really good. I think. They're both very enjoyable.
Except that one fucking movie. Was that Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson movie?
Dodgeball.
Oh well, that too. That isn't the best.
Okay. I liked Dodgeball when I was like when I first saw it, but that was when I was like in middle school.
Owen Wilson discography. Here we go.
Discography. Is this Pitchfork?
The internship. That was really bad.
Oh, yeah. I did not see that.
Oh, a lot of these movies were bad.
I think I was forced to watch some of it.
Wait, Wonder? I forgot. This was in 2017. It's Owen Wilson and that kid who... Cut that out. Cut that out, girl.
What happened?
The kid who's, you know...
Who?
In Wonder... Movie Wonder, where the kid's a little
what?
You know.
What?
You know the movie Wonder?
No, I don't.
Do I know the movie Wonder? I didn't see this, but it's like a kid who's
trying to get me to say the R word?
No, yes. Well, yeah, but we'll cut all that out. Okay, so the movie Wonder was released like 2 years ago, and it was like universally panned because everyone hated it because it was like Owen Wilson and his son who had like developmental issues and like, but it was just a normal kid actor playing him, like a neurotypical kid actor.
Oof.
And, like, I don't... It was just... It's... Oh, I think it was also, like, really Christian, maybe, or something like that.
No.
But other than that, Owen Wilson's cool.
We were talking about this before the podcast, but he was really good in Midnight in Paris.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a super long time, but I remember enjoying it.
Yeah, I remember enjoying it too. That's like one of the few Woody Allen movies that I think you can enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, even the ones I like have an air of pretentiousness, but like...
Yeah, I like Annie Hall.
I like Annie Hall, but it's also like, it's so Woody Allen-y.
But I feel like it's like his early stuff, and so it's like it's not like he's like running off the formula. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's just like what he's doing.
Yeah, true.
But it is just him. Like, that's in all of his movies, is it's just him.
Wait. Owen Wilson was the voice in Cars.
Oh, shit. That's insane.
That's really exciting. Good for him. He was in Night at the Museum.
Oh, yeah, he was the little person.
Not like that little. Like,
not as in midget, as in a real little person.
Like an individual with dwarfism, I think that's what you say right now, isn't it?
Native American. No, he was a cowboy.
Yeah.
He was the other, the genocider.
The genocider.
Not the genocide-y.
Oh, yeah. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, everyone.
Yeah. Glad they're changing it.
Yeah, because fuck Columbus.
Yeah, seriously. He just killed a bunch of native people and took their land.
And then we, and like, for like hundreds of years, we were like, mm-hmm. Yeah, this fucking guy rocks.
There's nothing wrong with this. God is telling me to take your land.
It's sorry, guys. God said it's my destiny. I gotta do it.
I hate how in like elementary school and middle school and even high school, like manifest destiny, they were just like, manifest destiny was where you could manifest your own destiny and go out west.
The fact that like in all American public school systems, they're like, yeah, manifest destiny was a good thing.
Yeah, it was great.
It's
was,
how you got all this awesome. Land.
Yeah, it's why your people are successful now.
Like, bitch, what people?
And then it's like, for real, like, fucking God is telling me to murder your family. Like, whoa. That's like that documentary Tread. Did you ever see that? It was about this guy who was like, he got fucked over by the good old boys in his town. And so finally he, something snapped in him. And he's like, God told me to buy a bulldozer and like armor it. And then go bulldoze a bunch of properties that these city council people hold that, like, fucked him over. And then he killed himself.
Oh, my God.
It was a really good documentary, though.
This article's calling him a real American hero.
Like that song?
I don't know.
It was kind of inspiring because it was, like, the good old boys, you know?
Yeah.
It was, like, those good old boys on the city council.
But, like, Jesus, he killed people.
Did he really kill people?
Did he?
No, I think he just destroyed property.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So it was kind of a cool documentary because he was, like, fucking over all these rich people who, like, fucked him over. And it was actually kind of cool. But it was sad because he was, obviously, there was something going on.
What if we have one podcast where we just discuss communist ideology?
We should do a dialectical materialism podcast. Just
discussing anarcho-communism with Stella and Graham.
Yeah.
Honestly, we should get like somebody from like fucking Emerson Republicans to like come on here. I did such a good job of not saying his name.
I'll bleep it. Don't worry.
But like, honestly... We should get somebody like super Republican on here and just destroy them.
We should get Von Coleman, honestly. We
really should. I don't know how we go about doing that.
We can be like, this is a VMA podcast. You're going to come on, tell us about your favorite actor. You're going to love it. Yeah, we're just going to like talk about how we love your favorite director. And then he gets on and we're like, so Turning Point USA, huh?
So how do you feel about people of color being entrapped in a cycle of violence that ultimately leads them into like perpetuating the cycle of the fucking prison industrial complex? How do you feel about that?
What are your takes? Yeah. That would be an iconic podcast. But also we should get on, because I'm taking a money class, And the professor, it's just a Marxism class.
Yeah.
And the professor is like fully just a Marxist.
I love that.
And she's also like from India. And she's like, I have worked my ass off to be here. Like, you will call me doctor. Like, I have my PhD. Like,
that's so sick.
And I am a Marxist. She's
like, she's a bad
bitch. We're going to be reading Marx today.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And all the people there thought it was like a financial literacy class.
The isn't the class called Money Matters?
No, it's called Money. It's the culture of money, the markets and morals.
Oh, yeah. Because I know there is a Money Matters class at Emerson.
It's not that one.
Because like then you just walk into the class and she'd be like, psych, money doesn't matter.
That's what she did. Literally the first day of class, she's like, so what is beyond money? Everyone imagine, what can we do after money? Like, what's post-money? And everyone was like, I thought we were going to be doing the stock market.
People are so stupid.
Honestly, it's fucking rough. But the professor's awesome.
If you're not Marxist, you're stupid.
Literally
fight me. Come on.
That's not a hot take. That's a cold take.
Yeah, but that's a cold take with us. A hot take for many people.
Yeah, but really, fuck
you're
you.
Stupid. You can come on the
Read
podcast
some books.
And we will explain to you why you're wrong. And then by the end of the podcast, you will agree with us.
I do think that there needs to be a little more heart, a little more compassion, a little more heart, a little more love in communism.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Because it's very just like, very like, there will be a revolution. There will be a bloody revolution. We will kill all those fucking bourgeoisie pigs.
No, yeah.
But the afterword, the idea of a utopia beyond money, like a post-scarcity world.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
Do you think that we need to go through like a period of extreme scarcity to get to a point of like utopian like socialism?
That's a tough question that I've been asking myself a lot recently.
Yeah.
Because I've been wrestling, because like in high school, I think everyone kind of went through that phase, and like, I guess, like maybe early college, where they were like, you first learned about like communism and things like that, and you were like, oh yeah, a revolution, like,
yeah,
you kind of got
we
edgy
can spray
like that.
Paint things,
yeah,
and
yeah,
like you wear got, combat boots.
You got edgy. And but I don't know, I think there needs to be a little love in there.
I agree. And like, yeah, I think because revolution, especially a violent revolution, is ultimately gonna like cause people pain, and even like,
yeah,
people that I don't agree with, like I don't want to inflict pain on anyone.
Yeah.
And like, if we can just, everybody should just fucking get along, man.
Just love each other, man.
I know, I like on a lot of like anarcho-communist forums, people are saying that like they're gonna vote for Trump even though they're super leftist.
Are those like accelerationists?
Yeah, because they're like, no, if we vote for Trump, it'll bring a second Trump term would bring about the perfect conditions for a revolution, but it would also like continue and prolong the suffering of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Which, like, if that's not a sacrifice I'm willing to make, and I don't think anybody should be willing to make that.
No. That's literally, I fucking hate accelerationists, mm-hmm, for that reason, because it's like, literally, you're basing this off of nothing. Like,
yeah,
every time there's been like a two-term Republican who's been super shitty that everyone hates, like, nothing has happened. Like, just because Trump gets a second term, like, everything's gonna get worse for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you're ignoring their suffering and the suffering of just like a lot of people. And I think.
And those are also the people who aren't hurt by the current situation too. Like,
yeah,
those are all the people, like probably like us, like you or I in the stance, we're like, we're pretty comfortable,
yeah,
in this current climate. But like, I mean, honestly, like, and not even that comfortable, because there's still stuff that freaks me out, like, about, like, my future.
Yeah.
But anyway, but, like, there are people who are currently suffering, like, right now, actively. Like, the fucking people in cages at the border, which is still a thing.
Yeah. And like, it was a thing in the news, and then the news cycle moved on.
And, but they're still, they're just putting more people in there.
They're still there. And they've all got COVID now,
yeah,
too.
No, it's literally insane. We're actually committing a genocide. Like
yeah,
we're doing it.
Yeah. Like, in the history books, they're going to say, like, we fucking killed all the people who tried to come into our country. The melting pot.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And nobody paid any attention to it because of everything else that was happening.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of suffering going on.
God, I hope kids in history classes listen to our podcast.
I hope archaeologists listen to our podcast.
They dig up a hard drive and it's just the Anything But Spielberg podcast. And they're like, really? This is humanity?
This was what they thought about art and culture at the time.
I guess.
This was the peak of humanity.
Pretentious fucks.
Man. It's like in ancient Rome when like you look back and you're like, this is what they were doing? Like, well, it was like all going to shit? Like, really?
Yeah. They were all just like fucking in Rome, right?
I think so. I mean, they had running water. They had the aqueducts. They could clean themselves.
Just boning.
Just like eating and boning. And just like, and like, didn't Aristotle or Socrates, well, some of those Greek guys, all those Greek guys were just fucking little kids.
Whoa.
Little boys.
Whoa.
And that was like a thing. They went to the schools, like the schools that you went to at like 15 with like Socrates to learn about like philosophy and life.
And you just got banged?
He would teach you about sex by fucking you.
Ah, wait, what the fuck? How come I've never heard about this?
It was like a normalized part of their society too.
Oh, now's the point where you get fucked by like a 50-year-old man.
I learned that when I studied at the castle, and my professor, Dolcia, she was from like Florence. Mm-hmm. And she was like, my mom gave me the Kama Sutra at 15. I was like, what the fuck? And like everyone in the class like looked around.
Honestly, that's probably just like a more sexually liberated society because America still like has really deep puritanical origins and we're like, ew, sex, gross.
It's very true. And I can see it through that lens. But at the same time, like
what?
Whoa. Why are you mentioning this in class?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so weird how different cultures are different in like those ways.
Yeah, but I do agree.
Yeah, America's like still weird about sex. I don't.
Fuck America.
Yeah,
and it's like violence is so normalized in like media, especially, yeah. And it's like glorified. And then sex, if you show a boob, you get an NC-17 rating.
Yeah.
And tonight we're gonna be talking about Gaspar Noé, but not right now.
But not right now. But so get ready.
He made a movie. Was that NC-17? Was Love NC-17?
That had to have been. Later.
Yeah. We can't be talking about this right now. I'm sorry. But Darjeeling Limited, I liked. Stella hasn't seen it.
I have not seen it.
Owen Wilson, really good. Who is that guy in The Pianist?
Adrian Brody
was in it. He was really good. Very attractive. And then there was like one guy that looked like a beetle. Like the Beatles?
Oh, yeah.
But a beetle. But he wasn't.
Jason Schwartzman, right?
Yeah. Was that Jason Schwartzman? Jason Schwartzman? Was that him? Jason?
Yeah, I think it was, right? Yeah, that's him.
Oh, okay. He looked pretty weird.
I feel like, speaking of people who I bet make crazy eye contact, Jason Schwartzman, I feel like I would dislike him in real life. I feel like his eye contact would be
I feel like his eyebrows also are too much.
let's hop over to Moonrise Kingdom. So I rewatched this. I think I watched it in theaters when it came out when I was like fucking like 12 maybe.
Yeah, I think I saw it when I was like 13.
I'm gonna look up when it came out.
Yeah, but when I saw it at the time, I remember really liking it.
And I did too. Yeah, it was 2012, so yeah. We were 12.
It was the first Wes Anderson movie I saw.
I think same.
Yeah.
Because it like came out and my friends were like, oh, you should see this. You like movies? You'd like this.
And it was true.
It was true. I really liked it. I rewatched it this week for the podcast and it wasn't that good.
Oh, no.
It really like a couple things about it. From a story perspective, it's bonkers. There's so many plot threads that are like just don't need to be there and don't get resolved at all. And like, basically it just like everything. Cut this. I lost my train of thought. No, I just feel like, it doesn't know what it wants to be. It doesn't know where it wants to go. The acting from the kids is not good.
Oh no.
Because it's like 13-year-old new actors.
Yeah,
like,
and plus the Wes Anderson style, I feel like would be very uncomfortable for like a child actor to do.
Also, there's like that like awkward pseudo sex scene where he like grabs her boob.
Yeah.
How do we feel about a grown Wes Anderson directing two kids to like get to second base?
I don't feel good about it at all. I feel very bad about it. I feel creeped out, especially knowing what he looks like.
Yeah, I feel like that is awful. Like, I feel like that shouldn't have been allowed.
Yeah, it's one thing in Love, but another thing in Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah.
they're too young. I don't want to imagine Wes Anderson being like, all right, kids.
Yeah, and I get it's about, like, it's coming of age. It's about, like,
yeah,
discovering sexuality, like, to some extent. That's not what the movie's about, but, like...
It's an element.
Yeah, it's definitely an element, but, like, maybe don't do that, buddy.
Yeah, maybe just cut that shot. Like, just don't do that. How about just delete that in the script?
Yeah, and I don't know. Everything is like he's starting to come into like a very specific style that I'm from this point in his career I'm not like super in love with, where it's just like very quick, very choppy, like do do do. We're getting through this movie, and this is how it's going to be the whole way.
Yeah,
and like all of like he does a lot of. Like direct 180, like not
whip pans.
Like not even whip pans, but like when he's like in a conversation, he'll just cut one from like one side to the other, like face to face.
Those are weird shots in a conversation.
I don't like that.
It's disconcerting. Yeah. It's uncomfortable.
That's like how I'd film things when I didn't know how to film things. but yeah, so it was not as good as I remember, and it really bummed me out because I remember really liking it when I was little. And I feel like the vibes weren't there as much either.
That's so sad. Because I remember it being pretty good. Yeah. I remember it being like,
I remember being really funny. And
yeah,
like it didn't
quirky.
At all.
And it was like when quirky was good.
Yeah.
But now we've grown out of quirky.
It's true. Bruce Willis is in it.
Was he a policeman?
Yeah.
Oh, and Bill Murray was in it, and he was the father.
Yeah. And Frances McDormand's the mom.
Whoa!
And so here's the thing.
Not a lesbian.
We find out at the very beginning of the movie that Frances McDormand's cheating on Bill Murray with Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Just never gets resolved.
Really?
That plot line is abandoned. I mean, like, Bruce Willis ends up taking in the kid and everything, and it's like, I guess you can assume that he, like, got fulfillment through that, and, like, they both kind of sneak over at the end, but, like, he, like, that, they just... don't talk about it again.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I feel like this is it's a very Wes Anderson move to just be like, ah, quirk, 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 and be like, ah, forget about the story.
And there's like random shots of like, it's like, oh, here's a fence and a kid on a trampoline. And like, doesn't, like, that was just like, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah. Very aesthetic.
Yeah. And I get like creating a vibe and everything, but it was just like, it was a bit much, buddy.
Yeah. He goes a little too far in this movie.
And a dog dies, and I don't like any movies where a dog dies.
That's sad.
I'm not a fan.
What about Isle of Dog? We can't talk about it now.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It's not
Mr.
a real
Fox.
Dog.
I don't like,
so
but
I,
a lot of people really do.
I really hate this movie because, my sweet mate knows somebody who made us watch this movie, and it was not very good. I did not like it at all, and she was way too into it.
Some people love this movie.
It's not good. I don't.
But again, the story and like the screenplay is just like, just the whole structure is like bad. Like it doesn't.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this in like 3 years, maybe 4 years. But I remember it, like the way it ended was stupid and I hated it.
Yeah. It was like fucking, if you go to like Intro to Screenwriting and you're like, mm-hmm. all right, we're going to go to the three baddest boys in town. And heist number one, very easy. Heist number two, a little troublesome. Heist number three, we run into some bad trouble, okay? And it was just very, not, I don't even know, cliche is even the right word, but predictable and formulaic, but also just like shitty too.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. But let's try and figure out why people do like it, though.
So
I feel like maybe there's something we're missing.
I feel like people latch onto the Wes Anderson style and like they just haven't seen Tenenbaums or any of his other movies, mm-hmm. and they it's like the first stop motion movie they've seen, and they're like, oh, this is an art form in a movie. Like you can do art with this. Like, this is a way movies can be made. But when it's just, like, your first introduction to it, you can, like, latch on to it and be like, this is so good.
That's true.
Like,
this is the best. Actually, this probably was the first Wes Anderson movie a lot of people saw.
Yeah.
But
I really don't think his style works in animation.
That's the same, like, fucking, what's the word? phenomena. That's the same phenomena as when like people really, really like the Joker. And I'm pretty sure it's because they've like only ever seen like Marvel movies.
Oof, duh.
Because if you'd only seen like fucking like Avengers and like fucking Ant-Man like your entire life, and then somebody shows you Joker, you're gonna be like, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
Oh man, they have gels. Yeah, I totally agree. And that's for me. I took film one with him. I'm gonna do a lot of bleeping. I took film one with him, and he came over to me one morning and he was like, bro, have you seen Joker? It's the best movie I've ever seen.
Whoa!
It's like, it's my favorite movie.
Favorite movie?
It's the best movie of the year, bro.
Bro.
I'm gonna get hit by a car on my bike, bro.
Did he get hit by a car on his bike?
He did. He's okay, but he definitely got hit by a car.
Oh my God.
Because he rides his bike like everywhere. I think he lives off campus.
Yeah.
But he stores his bike in the bike room. I saw him walking in one day. Oh,
which bike room?
The bike room by, like, across from the Tubi Alley. Like, Tubi, and then, like, next to the
There at least used to be a bike room in Anson.
Nope. He stores it in the one. It's like the storage room, like, where they have all the boxes at the end of the year.
I don't know if you'll find this helpful, but I have, because I'm off campus, if I'm, like, need to be on campus for like any period of time, or like I'm waiting for something to start, I'll like, I don't know where to hang out on campus because there's like really nowhere right now. 172 Tremont has a bunch of common areas that nobody is ever in.
Oh shit. So, I think I did a Zoom call in there.
Yeah. Like second floor, there's like a huge common space that nobody's in.
Oh and, shit. That's super cool.
Yeah. It's, it was nice.
I sometimes use the things in 2B where it's like the conference room. And they have, like, chairs set out by the windows.
Oh, yeah.
And, but only sometimes. Like, I like my room. I have a single. I've got a great view. I've got my little, I took the trundle or the cabinets under the bed. And I took it out and I put it up against the wall by the window. And so it's, like, the window and the trundle are flat.
Oh, so you have like a little area.
Yeah, so I can sit there and like look out the window.
That's
like
so nice.
Pensively and like smoke weed. And I've got a little succulent and I've got all my cameras there too.
That's so wholesome.
And I've got my rocks. Have you seen my rocks?
You collect rocks.
So in Minnesota, you've got to Google this. There's these things called Lake Superior agates. And they are the most beautiful rock you'll ever see. And they are just everywhere around where I live. Like, they were doing construction on the highway, and you could just go walk
it's
the highway.
So pretty.
I have a ton of those. Not the big ones. I have ones that are probably, like, the size of, like, I'm trying to look at a finger, because it's, like, it's probably the size of these, like, this grinder and smaller I have. But not the whole thing, just, like, this top bit. Like,
that's
surface
so cool.
area. But it's, like, I have some tiny ones, I have some bigger ones, and my dad has a rock cutter, and so he cuts them, so it's like you can see the inside.
I really want to get a rock polisher.
My dad has it one, and it's super cool, but it would make a total mess in here, like it's in our garage, like we can't do it. Like a tumbler or like a zoo 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 zoo?
A tumbler.
Oh yeah.
It's except it, you put it in and it takes like 4 days for
and
to polish.
It would make so much noise.
It makes
you would go
so
crazy.
Much noise. But then you'd have pretty rocks.
You would, and all mine are polished too.
I was collecting rocks this summer because pretty rocks.
I agree. They're neat rocks. Have you seen my TikToks about the rocks?
I have. Everyone should follow Graham on TikTok.
It's at the Mac Shack.
At the Mac Shack. Your TikToks this summer were just like,
Thank you. I couldn't think of very many, but the ones I put out, I felt good about.
I'd like showed them to my mom and my mom would be like, I don't understand this app.
Oh my God. I love
it. Like, no mom, this is premium content.
I love it. But yeah, I love rocks. I think rocks are really cool.
We should start a rock podcast.
And arrowheads. There's supposed to be arrowheads by where I live, like really? Native American cool. arrowheads. And like, I walked a couple
one?
Fields. No, but we've been walking fields this summer. We've been looking for them.
You said that so sincerely. We've been walking fields.
Yeah, because you have to wait until like the day after a rainstorm or like a couple hours after a rainstorm so that everything is shiny, all the rocks are like washed off and not all dusty and dirty. and so that like the dirt is kind of washed away and revealed kind of what's under the dirt.
Okay.
And so you go after a rainstorm, you just walk up and down the rows of cornfield and look for arrowheads.
There's not a lot to do in Minnesota, is there?
Nope. There's nothing to do and more nothing to do. But it's really pretty.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fantastic Mr. Fox, not a
good... Wait, side note, you should do that thing. I remember we did this. I don't know why we did, like, an archaeology unit in middle school, but there was, like, one point where we just, like, dug... like a big plot of land and we just dug
a hole.
Yeah, we dug a big hole and you find so much stuff.
When I was like 8 or 9, I fucking loved digging holes. Like I dug like a 6-foot hole. Like it was like a, like
did you find any cool stuff?
Found a couple like broken pots, like a couple, like some china from like somebody.
Yeah.
A lot of worms. I can't remember like exact. There wasn't anything like crazy. Also, metal detecting. People have really good metal detectors and go around.
Oh, like, that'd be sick.
Fuck, the treasure hunters.
I could see you as an old man being like one of the metal detector guys.
I would do it because they did construction on the highway in my town. They dug up like the whole thing, and it's only been done like a couple times since it's been put in. And so like these guys from all around like southern Minnesota came in with their metal detectors, and it was like the treasure hunters, and they were in the paper, the front page of the paper. There was nothing going on that week.
But honestly, that'd be sick.
And they didn't find anything. I yelled at them. I was like, find any treasures? And they were like, nope.
Yeah. So Moonrise Kingdom wasn't that good.
No.
It seems creepy that is something that he really wanted to do.
Yeah, I don't want to imagine him on set for that one, that's for sure.
Yeah. And then we've got...
Grand Budapest Hotel.
We already talked about... Fantastic Mr. Fox. I completely forgot about Grand Budapest.
Yeah, Grand Budapest Hotel, I kind of liked. I didn't love.
Yes, I agree with you. It is so aggressive.
Yeah, I do like the aspect ratio changes, I have to say.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, I do like that. I think that, doing that is cool. And experimenting with, like, just, like, the philosophy of aspect ratios, I'm really into.
Yeah. But, like, Jesus Christ. It's, like, again, like, it's, like, almost hard to watch because, it's, like, there's just settle down, dude.
It's a lot. It's a lot all at once. It's a lot of quirk. Too much quirk. An overflow of quirk.
Ralph Fiennes is great, though.
I love him. He's very funny. Yeah. The bad boy, he's okay. I mean, fuck.
I haven't seen it since it aired. Or not aired.
It aired. Okay, TV woman. Mary Tyler Moore over here. Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time, too. I probably only saw it, like, maybe twice.
I like how you went for, like, a purple thing, though. Like, the purple.
It's a good color scheme.
Gray is, like, the color scheme's pretty fantastic. It's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
The, like, miniature model, it's, like... I think you put a lot of work into the miniature model, and I'm like, yes, very cool that you did the miniature model, but like, pack it up with the miniature model.
Take it easy, man. Like, we get it. You built a set. You built
a
model.
You like small things.
Like, okay. Cool. Okay. I think that's a lot of things, a lot of like his eccentricity. It's like, okay, we get it. Like, he just goes way overboard for way too much shit.
The story's cute, though.
Yeah, the love story, it's very whimsical. It's neat that it's Budapest, and that it's like, I don't think I've ever seen a movie set in Budapest.
Yeah.
Which is cool. When I was like, when it first came out, and I was like 12 or whatever, and I saw it like in the movie, like the rental store, like the DVD rental shop, I was like, Budapest? What? I don't want to watch that.
Fucking Budapest? Are you kidding me?
It's true. I was like, fucking foreigner. I can't cut that. I'll get canceled for that. But I was like, I'm not watching a Budapest.
Who's like the kid in that movie?
I haven't seen it. I don't remember a kid.
Okay. Google search engine has been giving me a lot of like CAPTCHA tests. Has it been doing that for you? Because no. It keeps saying, like, there's been a lot of strange activity from your computer.
Have you been torrenting without a VPN?
No. I would never do something illegal, ever.
You just gotta use a VPN still.
There's no free VPNs to install on Mac.
Yeah, I pay for one, honestly. Because when I was over the summer, I would also download shit.
Should I scan for viruses? Do I have a virus?
I have malware. No, I have malware bytes.
I'll do a scan.
I don't want to do it just in case it restarts my computer.
I don't think it ever restarts my computer. I have,
You have a good one?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. But it's not a VPN. It's just like some kind of antiviral thing.
Antiviral?
Like an antibiotic for my computer.
I'm scrubbing my computer down tonight.
Yeah, honestly, if you're a film major, you know what we're talking about.
1, 2, 3 movies, anybody?
Dude, I haven't used 1, 2, 3 movies in forever.
I'd just do Pirate Bay, honestly.
Same.
Like, if you don't do Pirate Bay.
Because it's... this is what I tell everyone, because everyone's like, it's so much harder. It's so, like, it's so much work to, like, get torrents.
It's really not.
But it's, like, it's literally way easier to, like, search it up, download it. It downloads in, like, 3 minutes than to have to, like, go through a million links with, like, a billion pop-up ads that are, like, oh, fucking sexy singles in your area. Like,
warning, your Mac is infected. Yeah. Warning. Click here. Warning.
And, like, and sometimes they're just, like, dead links, and it's, like, not actually a real page, yeah. too. So, like, it's just so much easier to get to do torrents.
And it's higher quality. It's way higher quality.
Honestly, torrenting isn't that bad.
Or downloading. Do you mean downloading versus streaming? What do you mean?
No, I mean like that morally bad. Like
No, definitely not.
You're just stealing from the production company.
It's fine. They're already rich anyway. Like yeah. The actual filmmaker, not getting a cent.
Yeah, you're really... It's anti-capitalist of you to fucking torrent, so you should do it.
Yeah, come on. Join the club. Jump on the wagon.
Yeah. It's very cool. It makes you very cool.
It's like smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. You're way cooler if you do it.
Honestly, smoking cigarettes do look kind of cool, though.
You know, like, big tobacco, you're the worst. Like, I'm not a fan, but I don't... All of the marketing they've done over the last 100 years has made me believe that smoking cigarettes is cool, and you just can't get rid of that with a couple of truth ads.
The truth ads are so bad.
Yeah, they are.
The anti-smoking camp needs to step up their marketing game.
They're like, teens, you like TikTok, right? What if it was gross to... Like, what if TikTok told you that you shouldn't be juuling? Like, fucking shut up, truth.
Let me pour orange juice overflowing in this cup.
Oh my god, I've seen that so many times.
It's literally seared into my memory.
Yeah. And then the mom, like, lunges at her.
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck are you doing? What's wrong with my child?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't smoke, but...
Yeah, I don't either. I have once. Maybe even twice.
Yeah, it's happened before.
I think I've done
it
twice. But I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was cool. It was cool. At the time, it lived up to the hype. But I mean, my whole philosophy is that, like, if I'm going to smoke something and not get high, like, what the fuck is the point?
I mean, you got a point there.
Like, in high school, one of my friends started smoking cigarettes. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, why? And he'd be, like, smoking in the car. Like, we'd be smoking weed. And we'd be, like, hotboxing the car because this is high school. And he'd be like, oh, let me smoke a cigarette.
No!
And I was like, what are you doing? Like, at least roll down the windows, please.
You can't hotbox a car with cigarette smoke.
That's what I tried to tell him.
It's just how you'll just pass out.
Yeah. It was, he failed his senior year, and so he had to go to the stupid people high school.
Oh, no.
And then, I don't know what happened. He grew his hair out and, like, maybe got addicted to heroin.
Oh, my God.
Not heroin, but, like, he did pills. And, like,
it was dark.
I know, but I think he's, back in college now.
Good for him.
Like, I think he joined late, like, a year late, or maybe even 2 years late, but I don't know. Who knows? Jack, if you're out there, I love you, and I miss you.
Aw, wholesome.
We were good friends.
Anywho,
back to Wes Anderson. Wesley.
I liked Isle of Dogs.
Yeah, it was just too much for me. It was...
It was definitely a lot, but I just really like dogs.
I like dogs, too, but I was way too high when I saw this movie,
Oh,
too.
Yeah, don't watch this high.
And it was just, like, it was, like, freaky. It was like, ooh, whoa.
No, I just, like, it... It was nice dog content. It was very cute. And the The aesthetic was, I actually found more pleasant than Fantastic Mr. Fox.
I thought it was, like, it was more pleasant, but it was more detailed and more kind of uncanny, I felt like. Because, like, he would move the grass.
Yeah.
And, like, the hair on the dogs would move, like, every second. And I was like, oh, my God, this is way too much.
It is a lot, but it definitely, like, the, I don't know, like, the Tokyo vibe and, like, the language, like, switching throughout the movie and, like, just the... It was just like very, it was very cute. That's all I can really say about it.
I get that. I like the dogs.
It was wholesome and it was cute and it was good dog content. Like if you like dogs, you'll like this movie.
It's like Good Morning Vietnam is a good Robin Williams vehicle. I Love Dogs is a good dog.
Good dog vehicle. Yeah. So side note, we both watched Good Morning Vietnam and it is unfortunately did not age well.
No, it's a surprisingly racist.
Yeah.
I remember watching it as a kid and it being like very, very funny. But like half of the whole thing is just Robin Williams going, oh, those good.
Can you say that?
I don't know. I might have to bleep it out. Do you want me to bleep it out?
I don't know. Is that offensive?
I'm fine with it. I think it's a bad word to say. But
I don't want
like
you to
N-word.
Get canceled
it's
down the
like
line.
It's not like the N-word.
Yeah, dude, cut that out.
Oh, okay, I'll bleep it.
Yeah, apparently it's quite offensive.
I'm really sorry. But Robin, it's like the whole movie. It's like his whole character is just like, I'm going to go on the radio and make fun of Vietnamese people.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like, and like, I don't know, the portrayal of the conflict, like I get for the time how it was like very, it was taking a stance, but like now it's because everybody like looking back on it now knows that the Vietnam War was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And like just looking back on it, it's like, it's a little too pro-war.
Yeah. Like generally in the log line, like it's anti-war, yeah. But like everything else in the movie is like pro-America, like pro-military. Yeah. Anti-Viet Cong.
I guess there's probably people who were glad that we did the Vietnam War, like idiots.
Probably like Republicans, yeah. And conservatives and people who just wanted like contrarians.
But
and,
like
probably
but
Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, true.
Ben Shapiro's like, the Gulf of Tonkin, is that a conspiracy theory?
But like fucking like this one you can't really reason out of. Like we were just in the wrong here.
It was bad all around. I hate the people who are like, yeah, it was bad. Like, we did a bad job. Like, we didn't do it good enough. And it's like, that's their take. It's like, no, it was bad for way different reasons. Like, fuck you.
Do you think the Nazis did it, like, not a good job?
Because they lost? Yeah. I mean, that's
the Nazis should have just done it better.
No, they just didn't do it right, guys.
Yeah. What were we just talking? What
movie?
We were talking about Isle of Dogs.
So one thing about the Japanese. One thing about the Japanese in this movie that I kind of did not like is I just couldn't get out of my mind what Wes Anderson looks like and him just being way too obsessed with like Japanese culture.
Is Wes Anderson a weeaboo?
That's what this movie made me think, and I could not unthink it. Every frame of this movie is like,
that,
oh,
okay.
Man, he definitely watches way too much anime.
Here's the thing. Most men who are into film have like a weeaboo essence inside of them. And here's why. Like, what's the obsession with film culture in like Tokyo?
Is there?
I feel
like Tokyo
there definitely
Drift?
Is. No.
I've not really experienced that.
I feel like there definitely is.
Like how?
But like in like the more like bro-y film subcultures of just like yeah, bro, let's like do a bunch of like psychedelics and go to like fucking Tokyo.
Yeah. I can imagine them saying that.
Yeah.
That's very accurate to what they would say. All their rooms look like it too, like those LED lights.
Oh my God.
Like, that's that culture.
Yeah.
Like Corey has them and I really do not like them.
No, because they burn your eyes.
They're so harsh. I tried to tell him that. Like, these are such hard lights.
Yeah.
Like, it's just an unexposed LED. Like, and he's like, no, you don't understand. It changes color. It's like, no, I get that part.
I understand that aspect.
He's like, no, it looks cool. And they're like, no, it's neon. My freshman year roommate, Leon Chen, he He, on like the first morning we were together.
Together?
The first morning we slept together. He turned on the LED lights to red, blood red.
Why?
Before I woke up. Because he read online that it would make you sleep longer, like it wouldn't wake you up. And I woke up and I thought I was in hell.
I just imagine waking up and being like, what is this?
It was like if you took acid.
Is this climax?
Oh, is this climax? It felt like that, though. It did. I was like, what's going on? It's like, I don't want to wake you
your
up.
Your sweet freshman year was the seventh circle of hell.
It was really bad. And it was disgusting because our windows didn't open either. And yeah. So there's just no fresh air ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
You guys had like fucking
8 people.
Yeah. But there was like 2 of your roommates who I just like didn't interact with ever.
I'm going to tell you something. We didn't either. Like the rest 6 of us did not know them. Like we invited them places like the first week and we were like, "Oh, it's George's birthday. Want to come out to eat with us?" They're like, no.
No.
And we see them like, and one of them, his eyes are all bugged out too.
Whoa.
And he's like the son of like a Nickelodeon executive.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, my grandmother went to Emerson and my mom went to Emerson. I'm a 3rd generation Emersonian.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm not kidding you. And he's a ginger.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. But I did not know him though.
The one time I interacted with them, I think I was either in your room or George's room and I like left and I was... like in like a compromised state of mind because you know it was so late, but I like was trying to get to the bathroom and I just walked into their room and it like took me too long to realize I was in the wrong room and they were just both like staring at me and I just like backed out slowly.
I wouldn't be surprised if they hit on you during that time.
Yeah, weren't they like creepy towards girls?
Oh yeah, like anytime any girl like Danny or Carrie or anybody yeah. would be in our room, they'd be like they'd like lean up against the wall and be like. So you go to Emerson and his eyes would be like in different directions like a chameleon. He'd be like, I'm a 3rd generation Emersonian.
Why did they let 8 people live in suites? That was crazy.
They forced us. It was like a temporary.
I could never
it was awful.
Live with that many people again. Holy shit. That
was... I could never live in the same room with someone again. Like now yeah, I've gone to honestly. A single. I don't like somebody. So one of Corey's friends was like, hey, oh no, it was Kristen.
Yeah, it was me and Kristen.
You guys were like, do you and Corey want a bunk bed together yeah. in my room?
Okay, well, that's
over
different.
The summer?
That's different because that would be adorable. A little summer event with you and Corey bunking in our apartment.
Honestly, I said I wanted top bunk and then Corey beat me to it. I would want top bunk because I'm bigger.
You guys wrestle for top bunk every night.
It's a challenge.
That would just be like a fun summer activity.
It would be like at camp.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm kind of down.
Camp 34.
If you would buy the bunk bed, I would do it.
What, do you think I just have money lying around for a bunk
bed? Do you think
bed?
I do? I barely have enough for rent.
I was just thinking you guys just both have beds and you just put them on top of each other.
That's not how bunk beds work. Holy shit. But Wesley. Wesley
Anderson. Okay. Yeah, so... I love dogs. It's fun and cute.
It's quirky.
The end. Yeah, so I feel like this was repetitive because all of his movies inspire the same emotion within me.
Because literally they're kind of the same movie.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They are. It's a highly structured movie with quirky visuals that are very cute and very organized, and then it all works out very nicely in the end for everybody,
mm-hmm.
which is fine.
Yeah, I'm glad they exist. Don't get me wrong; like they're good movies. Like some of them, like they're interesting to watch, and I'm glad they exist. But fuck, I have no desire to watch another one right now. Like I just watched one,
yeah.
and I got my fill.
I don't want to watch more.
Yeah,
I watched 2 this week, and that was too much. What is the objective best one?
So, I put down Moonrise Kingdom before we had this conversation. Now I think I'm changing it to Darjeeling.
Okay.
But I did like Moonrise Kingdom. I liked Moonrise Kingdom so much when I first saw it, and that's why I put it down.
Maybe, I don't know. I have Grand Budapest might be the best. Yeah. However.
It's not my favorite.
No, I think Royal Tenenbaums is the best. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with my guns on that one.
That's definitely the one I'm going to watch next.
Because like, it's the most watchable and it's like the most enjoyable.
Yeah. Damn.
So and it has a lot of Elliot Smith in it, which is like great.
I got to Google this guy.
He's that indie artist.
Oh, a singer?
Yeah.
There was a lot of... I did not like... One thing I did not like in the Darjeeling Limited was all the Kinks soundtrack. The soundtrack was just all Kinks songs. Oh,
interesting.
And it was like the first time it was like, okay, it's the Kinks. Like, I get it. Like, okay. And then it was like they just kept playing Kinks songs. I'm like, oh my God. Like, what the fuck? It was a bit... It was too much.
Yeah. Objective worst... I'd say Rushmore.
I would say Fox/Dogs for me, because I did not like them, either of them.
It's got to be Rushmore. Rushmore, it's like hard to watch. Like it's just a cringy character, and like the whole thing is very cringy and like awkward. It's so awkward that it makes it hard to watch.
I think if I had seen Rushmore, it would be my least favorite.
I'm sure if I had seen Bottle Rocket, it would be my least favorite.
They always get confused in my mind. Like, same I guess here. I just don't know what Bottle Rocket is about.
Who's in Bottle Rocket? Oh, and Wilson. And Luke Wilson.
What? Them both?
Yeah. Well, they're both in Tenenbaums.
Just been released from a mental hospital, only to find his wacky friend, Dingin. Owen Wilson, determined to begin an outrageous crime spree. See, wacky, outrageous, like... I don't like these adjectives.
I'd say people could agree with me here on Rushmore. I feel like we have controversial film takes most of the time.
I feel like this is a non-controversial take.
I feel like people aren't going to like this episode because people like Wes Anderson so much and we're kind of critical. But
but deal with it. You're adults.
You're adults. Get it together.
really. I mean, we're just disagreeing with you on an opinion. And, like, honestly, we have some validity. Like, this is a valid
view. Yeah.
Like, lots of people are going to agree with us.
Also, Wes Anderson doesn't cast any people of color. He does on occasion.
I think he's such a white man. He just can't imagine, like, a black perspective. So he just writes all white people.
Yeah, but then, like, have somebody who's black, like, come in and, like, help you
just
with that.
Be a white character.
Yeah.
A black man.
I don't know. I feel like, especially in this day and age, it's like not really excusable to have like just pretty much zero diversity in all your movies.
Yeah, at least one. I mean, what are you doing? Come on. And I feel like just the culture of the movies are so white, too. Like, they're such white movies.
Oh, yeah, they are. Big time. So what do you think he's trying to tell us through his movies?
I think he's not trying to tell us, like, a theme or a thought or like a philosophy, but even though he did major in philosophy, I think he's trying to communicate his style, and I think he just wants to fuck around with film and do the things that he thinks are cool to look at and be like, this is the thing I'm gonna do, and then I'm gonna do my thing, and then I'm gonna do this in my thing, and he really wants to communicate that style.
Like, that's how he sees the world, like how painters like paint, how they see the world, like that could be like how he's like conveying his like vision for how he perceives things, or maybe not.
That'd be a cool vision.
That would be cool.
It'd get old after a while.
But I think, I don't know. I can't really think of any specific like message he's really trying to convey. I mean, big emphasis on family, I guess. Family and friendships.
Yeah, friendship and family, and I guess like bonds and trust.
Yeah, like just... big relationship focus in general.
And like the humanity, I guess. Like, I feel like he gets really emotional.
Yeah, I think like the redemption and like just like humanity, just like finding the humanity in a situation.
And especially in Darjeeling, because of the spiritual quest whole thing, it was very, it lended that credibility of like him knowing more, and like it lended a philosophical twang. Where it was like, oh, okay, like, they're looking for God. Like, that's kind of neat. Like,
yeah.
It was neat.
It's very neat.
God, neat.
I'd say it's an optimistic perspective that's not really trying to say anything in particular. and just like, keep your head up, buddy. That's what he's saying.
And he says it like that too.
Don't kill yourself. You're so sexy.
I want to whip pan you. I want to get some anamorphics and whip pan. Stella, before we close this podcast, I do have one question I want to ask you. Are there any quirky or eccentric or maybe even, some would say, fun facts about Wesley Anderson?
I do happen to have a fun fact about Wesley Anderson.
Yay!
So this one is that Rosemary's Baby's his favorite film. What?
It's a freaky movie.
Dude, I love that movie so much.
It's a really good movie.
Literally the end where like the neighbor's like, she's like has her like dinner party where they all like have the baby and she's like, well, it's your baby. He's the devil. We put the devil in your body. Get over it. And like, and she's like, the girl's like screaming and like dying. She's like, it's Satan. It's your baby.
I heard on a podcast that like the occult societies in America got mad when that movie was made because it cut a little too close to home. Like it was a little too true.
Jesus.
Like they like went to some studio heads and were like, hey, who wrote this? Like, how did they know? And apparently Roman Polanski was like kind of involved in that scene before he made Rosemary's Baby.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'd like to know that backstory.
It freaks me out to think that it might be like it seems like one of the most accurate like occult movies. Like I feel like whenever you see an occult movie, it's like way overblown, way campy, like witches, eh? And like with this resurgence, like culturally of like witches, I feel like it's neat, but I think it gets like a little too quirky, like Wes Anderson.
This is a Roman Polanski episode too much because he's like a rapist.
But he did The Pianist, or The Penist, if you want
and
to.
And Chinatown.
Oh, shit. I like Chinatown.
I really like Chinatown.
Chinatown's a classic.
It's in my Letterbox top four. Damn. I really love it.
I know Coenus Quatsi is my Letterbox number one.
Ooh.
I know.
I thought Primer.
Maybe. I don't know. I've just rated a bunch of five. I don't really use Letterbox. I don't even know. That's just the first one that pops up when I sort by highest rated. But I've got a ton that are just five stars. They're just like, these are all I love.
That's nice.
But I don't know. I'd have to do like a top five or a top 10. But Primer would definitely be like number one or number two. Or Upstream Color. Primer and Upstream Color are really, really good.
What was I watching? I was watching a really shitty movie that was a pseudo time travel movie. And it made me so mad because I'm like, this Primer is so much better than this.
Have you read his the film he never made, at Topiary?
No.
I've read like part of the script because like it never got made and it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's like it's him, but in such a good way. Like it's really cool. But also you need to see Upstream Color.
I know, I do. And is it on the genome? I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh, it's definitely not. If Primer's not on the genome, Upstream Color cannot be on the genome.
I'll code it.
But wasn't he making a movie about ocean liners with like the Spider-Man kid?
What? Tom Holland?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that was like in the works, but I don't know if something happened or I don't know what's going on with him. Do you know what's going on with him?
I don't know what's going on with him.
I wish he'd do something because he's like one of my favorite filmmakers.
Yeah, I am not aware of his whereabouts. I hope he's okay.
Me too.
We should do an episode on him probably after I watch Upstream Color.
Absolutely.
That's probably mostly it for today. I'd say, there is a new Wes Anderson movie coming out. It's coming out soon, right?
I think so. It's got already filmed.
Called The French Dispatch.
The trailer is out. And doesn't it have a Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah, it's coming out in 2021. It does have Timothy Chalamet. The cast is ridiculous. It has Timothy Chalamet, Bill Murray, Benicio del Toro, Tilda Swinton, Frances McDormand, Owen Wilson, Lea Seydoux, Adrian Brody, Saoirse Ronan, Jeffrey Wright, Elizabeth Moss, fucking Willem Dafoe, Christopher Waltz, Jason Schwartzman, Henry Winkler, Edward Norton, Bob Blah Blah and Kate Winslet.
Blah blah blah.
Liv Schreiber, Angelica Houston. It just keeps going. Just like all Holy of the big shit. Actors.
Is Timothy Chalamet addicted to meth?
You can't say that on the podcast.
Oh, okay. I'll cut that. I'll
yeah, cut that. We can't boost it that much.
That's an insane cast.
Yeah. Like, so it's coming out in 2021. The trailer is out, so check that out. It's like mostly in black and white. I don't know if it's all in black and white.
I would
I think
guess.
It's half and half.
I don't know.
I don't know. But it looks pretentious.
It really does.
But we'll see. We will see how it is.
I'll see it when it comes out.
I'll see it.
I'll see it. I'll shoot up some meth. I'll cut that one.
Yeah, so just don't forget to follow me on Insta at Stella.drewss and Graham on Insta at
F_Instagram, G-R-A-H-A-M.
And the Pods socials, you can follow Pods.Emerson on Instagram and Pods Emerson on Twitter.
Bye.